Welcome back to Crime Scene Queens, everybody. So this is your favorite show. This
Why?
Is the show. Thank you, Shelly. I love that prompt. This show is for you if you are sick and tired of the same old basic bitch bullshit of true crime, where all they do is regurgitate stories that you can literally Google for yourself.
Right?
This is the show where we've got our legal beagle, Shelly.
That's me.
That's you. That's my girl over there. And I'm your, obviously, like, friendly neighborhood CSI and field mouse.
Super friendly.
Super friendly and somewhat snarky, because sometimes when I go to the spice cabinet, I choose salt, but not when it comes to victims' rights, which is why we are here, because we are science-based.
Yes.
We are very clearly interested in serving the public, and that means being factual, being truthful, and being respectful. Shelly?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So today, Shelly and I wanted to talk about traffic homicide or traffic death. And the reason why we thought we would get into this is because it seems a little closer to home, right? Like murder, shootings, stabbings, etc. It seems like something in the movies, right, Shell?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
The reality of having an incident in a traffic situation is so much closer to home for a lot of our audience, unless you're, of course, one of our CSIs or forensic practitioners. But if you are one of our lovely audiences, like in the community, then you might resonate a little bit more with the statistical probability of you suffering a car accident, or what they now call a collision.
Okay, yeah, I was like, what are you even saying right now?
Well, get to the because point. Everybody calls it an accident, but I remember
MVA,
when I was
in, motor vehicle accident.
That's right, motor vehicle accident, but they don't call it an accident anymore.
No, it's a collision.
That's right. And Shelly, like, I'm sure from a legal perspective, you can elaborate on the fact that we call it that because when you say accident, it implies lack of fault.
Correct.
And collision means that somebody has to bite it here.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's, you know, a solo, then it's a solo accident.
Right.
Which still gives the perception that it was unintentional. And sometimes it is, but sometimes it is intentional.
Right, because, you know, like, there's inclement weather or, like, random, like, I remember one time I was driving down a alligator alley, which is, like, a very common problematic road in Florida. And, like, I was behind
this. Why do alligators like come out on the road and they?
It's funny that you asked that, Shell, because.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, they do.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, okay. They do. Alligators are literally lying along the road in Alligator Alley, which, by the way, fun fact, did you know that Florida is the only ecosystem that facilitates both alligators and crocodiles? And why that's unique. Not CSI EDU, just EDU in general. One is saltwater, one is freshwater. And
yes.
We have both in Florida.
Yeah. So I have stories about that for sure. That's funny.
I literally can't wait to hear those.
Yeah.
So obviously. Now our audience has to hear the whole episode for that. But so I was driving on Alligator Alley and there was a traffic buildup for like literally miles.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, okay, there's a huge car accident. Somebody has been flipped over. There's a death. It's a big deal. Shelly, S you not.
Yeah.
A bale of hay had fallen off of some vehicle and was on the side of the road, and onlooker traffic did that. Onlooker, mind your business, people.
Oh, okay.
Mind your business.
Mind your business. Yeah.
I like literally can't with like people like, oh, I need to slow down to see what's happened. Are we not all on a mission to move along?
Dude, some of us have to get to places. Like, seriously.
Before we get into the topic, let's just talk about the fact that a vehicle is in fact a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
There were 35,766 fatal motor vehicle crashes in the United States in 2020, which, by the way, is significant because in 2020, we were all in lockdown and not even driving.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait a second, really? Okay.
And if you want to take that number and kind of put it in a fraction, there were 38,824 deaths. So what that means is of all the fatal motor vehicle collisions, that means that there was more than one person involved in general, okay?
Math is hard for me, so math I just is hard like, for oh, me yeah, that too. Just means that they had a passenger. Okay. No, it usually means that there's two cars involved.
Out of fatal accidents, 35,766, so let's just say it looks like 37,800. But more than one person might have died in that collision. So that's why we're at 38,900 in general in 2020. Still, more than one person died, not atypically or typically, just like it has happened per accident. Okay. Yeah. So this means that 11.7 per 100,000 people died.
Okay.
For every million miles traveled in that year. So those stats sound generous. Basically, what that means is it's a small percentage of people when you think about it per 100,000.
Yeah.
But I live in a city of like 4 million people alone in Florida.
Yeah.
So that number seems small when you say it out loud in particular, but it's actually a lot bigger. So what I want to dive into before we start talking about our cases is the type of science that we look at when we approach a crime scene that involves injury and or death with a vehicle, right? So an impact injury is the damage caused by the collision of a body with a moving or stationary object. You know how sometimes you get into a car accident where a vehicle is moving and you're also moving and then you guys collide, or you're stopped at a red light and somebody like rear ends you?
Yeah. Well, I've never been in an accident, so.
Oh my God, you're so lucky. Living in Florida, I've been in like 12. And like,
well, I've been in one, and actually it was a rear ender, but I wasn't driving, and so obviously I wasn't at fault. So I was a passenger, and yeah, I was rear ended.
Absolutely. So that is an impact injury, whether or not you're in motion or stationary. Yes. Now, the other kind of injury that's relevant is something called rapid deceleration trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So these are injuries that are suffered when you are suddenly stopped. So that's not limited to a motor vehicle. That's trains, airplanes, like roller coasters. I know that relatively recently there have been like carnival or amusement park rides where somebody has suffered a fatality. Anytime where your body is in velocity, so to say, and abruptly comes to a sudden stop.
Is that like the inertia?
For example, if your vehicle is traveling forward and is T-boned, it will decelerate quickly and move in a new direction. And your muscles and skeletal system or soft tissue are like, oh my effing G, I was not ready for this, and it causes all kinds of injuries. In fact, most car accidents, the stat is like 80% of people suffer some form of rapid deceleration trauma. And that can be like whiplash.
Yeah.
And whiplash is one of these terms that has a broad spectrum. And it can mean anything from like muscular pain all the way to a severe traumatic brain injury. So I don't like using the term whiplash because the spectrum of what that means is huge. And that's why people can be overly litigious or sometimes under litigious, as you might know, Shelley, in the legal field.
Yeah, when I got rear-ended, like I said, I was a passenger and I was looking at and talking to the driver and got rear-ended, and I totally thought I was fine, but it turned out I ended up smacking my head because what people think is when you get hit, you're going to go forward, but actually your head goes backwards.
Yes, Shelley. Yes. Yeah,
so that's something that's a good fun fact too. And I hit the side of my head on the headrest of the seat, I guess. And I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that I had a concussion until like I got home and my son was like, first of all, you don't seem okay. And I was like, yeah, we're just rear-ended, but I'm totally fine. He's like, you need to go to the hospital. And I was like, no, I'm fine. He's like, you need to go. It's like, fine. So yeah. I ended up driving myself and they were like, you have a severe concussion and you have whiplash. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't drive myself.
All right, so this is not my story. So I'm retelling someone else's story.
Okay.
Somebody's crime scene van had like literally a fender bender. And what I mean by that is neither vehicle was scratched, dented, etc. Mm-hmm. And the person that this crime scene vehicle collided with was like, oh, yeah, I'm good. It's fine. It's no big deal. They mm-hmm. called like their dad or whoever, and they were like, you got into a collision with a government vehicle. You need to go to the hospital. So this dude who's sitting there basically doing like jumping jacks and backflips is yeah. like, oh, yeah, I need an ambulance. And they like put him in the whole head brace shit and yeah. like carried him away. And of course, they ended up suing the city.
Of course.
And then because we had really good risk management in that city that I worked for, they were like, these medical records are literally like
trash. If you think that this is the doctor's first rodeo with this, you are dead wrong because they get this all the time.
Exactly. But on the other side of that, to your story's point, Shell, just like working out at the gym, sometimes it does take 1 to 2 days to feel the full yeah. effects and pain of an incident. I know this. Unfortunately, I have been T-boned. I have been in a rollover accident. I have been sideswiped. And I was not driving, by the way. So, like, for all of you who are immediately thinking that I'm, like, some, like, ridiculous driver, I'm not. I was the passenger in most, not all, most of these incidents. Okay. Now, whiplash, brain injury, that can be a very big deal.
Kinda.
But people can also use it as a tool to be kind of a douchebag. It is what it is.
Yeah.
People use the legal system for both good and bad. As my legal beagle, I'm sure you can co-sign me on that.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's awful.
So this force that we're talking about, acceleration or deceleration forces, can be measured in terms of gravitational acceleration or G's.
Yes.
So if you're like a fan of the new Top Gun Maverick movie where he gets to like 10, 11 G's, a force of 3 G's, for example, is equivalent to an acceleration 3 times that of a body falling near the earth. Okay, so 3 G's is a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of measure that force. Now, when a crime scene investigator is called to the scene of a traffic homicide or incident, we do document these scenes uniquely. And there are several considerations. Did this happen on a highway? Did this happen on a city street? Is this a one vehicle accident, as you've said?
Yeah.
Or 2. Now, let me be clear about what I mean by that. And this kind of ties into my first traffic homicide that I ever worked. I was called because a man was riding a bicycle. And a lot of people don't know that bicycles are legally considered a vehicle. And they are allowed to ride on the street. Now, there is a lot of anger and animosity towards bicyclists and motor vehicle drivers. The reason why this animosity exists is layered. Okay. So
it's like an onion. You have to peel off all the layers.
You gotta peel it off like an ogre shell. Exactly.
Yes.
So bicyclists are legally allowed to be on the road. Some jurisdictions have designated bike lanes.
Yes.
But if they don't, technically somebody, not a motorcycle, who is riding a bicycle is allowed to share a lane of traffic with you.
Yep.
Obviously, this is exactly. this can be problematic when there are things like speed limits and people getting to where they need to go and bicyclists saying and articulating that riding on a sidewalk or other places is more dangerous for them. And there's the passive aggressive nature of them riding in very large groups that take up more than one lane of traffic. So the relationship between motor vehicleists and cyclists is not great.
Sometimes, yeah.
Especially when you're riding on a highly trafficked road.
Most of the time.
Like, if you're on a residential road, I feel like most people are like, all right, have a nice day, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first traffic homicide in my entire career was not a case of animosity. A man had recently had success in weight loss with bicycling very early in the morning. And a woman driving a motor vehicle worked for a bakery. And if you've ever worked for a bakery, you know that you have to get to work very early to start literally baking.
Yeah. Donut shops open at 4 a.m.
Yes. And so some bakeries close late. So this person worked, and if you live in a certain region, you'll know what Publix is. But she worked at Publix,
okay,
which is a grocery store that has a very – in Florida, there's nothing like a Publix cookie or cake. My wedding cake, yeah. Shelly, was literally a Publix cake.
Oh, my gosh. So I was there, and I didn't know that I should have gotten
– Go to Publix, Shelly. Go to Publix. They should sponsor our show.
I went to Publix, but I didn't get a cake. I should have.
If you go to Publix, like the bakery, they sell like individual slices.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So I'm not in Florida anymore. When I go back.
Buy a slice of cake. Buy it.
When I go back in August, I will.
So this chick worked for the bakery and it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And she was driving to work and there was a cyclist along this road, which, by the way, this is irrelevant, but I feel like it will contribute to our audience visualizing the road, was traditionally a highly trafficked road. So it's three or four lanes. And he was riding his bicycle and she had closed the night before. She had not gotten enough sleep and she was driving to work to open and had, there is something, I wish I could recall right now, a light distortion where when a light is shining directly in your eyes, you're unable to correctly understand the distance.
Your depth. But, yeah
the depth. Your depth. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So she was experiencing that and she ended up just obliterating him.
Oh, geez.
And why I feel terrible for her is she was very clearly a good person, full of remorse, devastated that she had hurt someone. This chick was a baker. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So I approached this man. And for those of you who aren't in crime scene investigation work, whenever you hear or respond to a scene where there's rapid deceleration trauma. So that means like if your suspect or victim has jumped from a high altitude or been in a
off
train,
of a bridge,
building, whatever. When you approach them, they typically kind of look like Gumby. Their limbs are in not the best position or a natural position.
Yes. Yes.
So his foot was not anywhere where it should be. Neither was the knee or the arm. Like, basically every joint looked like it had been crumbled up like a piece of paper and released. And what was the most sad element of this case is that nobody did anything maliciously. Like, even if you want to be a person that's crappy towards the cyclists, this man was riding his bicycle during a low traffic time.
Yeah, exactly.
And this poor woman was driving her car based on her financial need, her occupational need, and nobody did anything mean.
Yeah.
Because of the way that she collided with him, evidence was present in about a quarter mile.
Yeah.
And it was just a sad situation for everyone. So what I kind of want to tap into is the unique processing methods that go into a scene like this.
Yeah.
So when you're a CSI, you have to collaborate either with the traffic unit and or the highway patrol. So in Florida, we have FHP or Florida Highway Patrol. There are a lot of things documentation-wise that are their responsibility, and that's very metric-based. However, that doesn't mean we don't take our own metrics. This particular scene was a north-south scene, meaning that the road that he had died on was a north-south oriented road. And what I did was I found the piece of evidence that was the most northern.
Okay.
And I took not only a GPS measurement of it, but yeah. I put a cone on it, as we've talked about in previous episodes. And then I found the most southern piece of evidence and did the same, and then measured the distance between the two. Now, traffic units will typically have their own unique GPS measurement system called Total Station.
Yes, which is similar to the Faro.
Which is similar to the Faro, but they're sisters, not twins.
Correct.
So I, as a human, have opted out of Total Station. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's obnoxious. I don't want it. I am willing to dive deep into a lot of things, Shelley. Total Station is not one of them. I attempted to learn, and I'm like, you know what? I am willing to admit what I am not the best at something, and this is not where I'm going to shine. Luckily for me, the individuals in the traffic unit were literally ninjas at it. So essentially, it's a hybrid way of taking both GPS and mapping measurement to create a map of plot points that don't necessarily have images, but geometric locations that can both give you a global location and or a general perception sketch-wise of what happened, right? Uh-huh. So you're not going to see like, oh, that's a banana.
Yeah.
But you can see, okay, this was the head, this was the feet, whatever. So they did that for me. And you would document things like the spray of glass, though you might not collect every piece of glass. You would take several photographs of the vehicle, including all four sides and all four corners, the key in the ignition, the gear shift position, any lights on the dashboard.
Position.
The seat position. Thank you, Shelley. Exactly. Yes. That's my legal beagle right there. Any lights on the dashboard, because a lot of people drive their car with that maintenance light on or that oil change light on.
Or the tire something.
Exactly. You would take photographs of all the crossroads, stop signs, and when applicable, I don't really know how this works anymore, but I'd actually take a picture of the suspect's cell phone and when their last text was sent or phone call made.
Yeah, that's definitely helpful for the legal aspect of this. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that, because trying to get that information, we have to subpoena it. And then you have to, with some carriers, you have to get a notarization on it. It's just time consuming and lengthy. So yes, we do appreciate that.
So back in my day, Shelley,
we had pagers and they went, beep, 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 we would send 8008.
But a little later than that, earlier than like maybe some of our listeners, your girl here figured out a hack for having a passcode or a face ID to open a phone. So what you would do is... I don't even know that I should be admitting this, but whatever. What you would do is if you put the phone in emergency mode, it unlocked it.
Oh.
And so I would like unlock phones that had passcodes or face IDs or whatever, because I just fucking simply put it. It was like such an easy hack. And eventually, like, companies figured it out and I lost my ability to be a ninja. But
yeah.
Whatever.
I was going to say they don't do that anymore.
Well, like, however, like, if somebody's died, you can just hold the phone up to their face. I mean, I don't know how legally that works, but I was able to open the phone.
Yeah.
I was able to determine the last time that they made, like, a cellular interaction, whether it be a text or whatever. Instagram, Facebook, DM, stupid Snapchat. Yeah. By the way, sidebar, not going to get into this, but Snapchat is for cheaters. Not my story, but Snapchat is for cheaters. So if your man and or chick has Snapchat, they're probably up to shady shit. All right, back to traffic homicide. So either way, you document the vehicle. As we've talked about in the past, passenger seat, driver seat, rear passenger seat, rear driver seat side, trunk, glove compartment,
center console.
Exactly. All of that. So
the visor mirrors too.
Exactly. Yep. And so the cool thing about FHP and the traffic units that we worked with is they have these really cool measurement methods with like tire skid marks and everything that can help them determine like speed and like the rate of rapid deceleration and all of that. But there's just a lot going on in those scenes. And my job is to document. So when you have somebody that I would consider to be more of an expert on the subject matter than I, such as a traffic homicide investigator and or a highway patrol officer, I will uncharacteristically concede to their guidance and their lead because this is their area of expertise. And as CSIs, our ethical responsibility is to victims, suspects, the truth, right? So mm-hmm. if somebody is better at something than me, I'm going to let them be the boss applesauce, right?
Not crisscross applesauce, the boss applesauce?
No, the boss applesauce. So like, listen, I am a very like confident person in my skill, my crafts, but if I know you're smarter than me, as you are in legal things, my friend, I am super humble. So traffic homicide investigators, traffic patrol officers any capacity, or highway patrol, traffic, any kind of traffic homicide people, you are literally specializing in this. And yeah, exactly. I will document and follow your lead. So that's how I like to work and partner with those people. Ultimately, the disposition of this case, for those of you who are wondering, she was charged with traffic homicide.
Which is typical, but unfortunate.
It's typical. And I felt for her because on scene, you could tell that this person was like, upset. Oh my God, I have hurt somebody. I've taken, like, you can tell she had punished herself.
Yeah.
So when we eventually showed up to court for her, like, traffic homicide prosecution, it ended up being dismissed because there was no intent. And even though you could argue that there might have been negligence because of the lack of sleep, this human being never wanted to harm another person, so it ultimately was dismissed. I don't remember the exact ruling, Shell, but like I know that of course. It was like they said, okay, like we can't prove that this person was like drunk or the influence.
So like there's actually studies and stuff that are, you know, with so much sleep deprivation, your behaviors and your mannerisms are identical to being under the influence of 0.05 to 0.08. alcohol.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's some pretty interesting studies. So maybe we could get into that. You know, maybe we'll do like a sleep deprived, something like that in a later episode.
Yeah.
But I totally have to say like a little side note, because I don't want to get into this case necessarily, but there was a case where, you know, went out and there was someone that had gotten to an accident and they ended up killing themselves. There was no one else involved. And no one knew exactly what happened because it was nothing on a cell phone that was just like, what happened? And one of the smart people that did photographs of the vehicle actually took note that the visor was down and the little flap was up for the mirror. And it was early in the morning and this person was on their way to work. And then underneath the seat was the wand mascara, and ejected from the vehicle was the person. Huh. And ejected from the vehicle was the rest of the mascara. So put one and one together equal this person was putting on makeup and ended up running into something and killing themselves, all because they were putting on makeup while they were driving. So distraction driving is very deadly. obviously. So, you know.
Yeah.
Be careful with that. And yeah. And I do want to say, I totally have to say this. So you were talking about shutting down like freeways and stuff like that, right? So highway patrols, they shut down the freeways when there's an accident and stuff. And then let's say someone runs into a guardrail. And then there's those Caltrans guys or the guys that work for Caltrans, the subcontractors for Caltrans. Those are the jerks that shut down the freeway so that they can do road construction. And I say that they're jerks. And I say that lovingly because that big, strong man of mine, he's one of those jerks that does that. And so when people ask me, what does he do? I'm like, oh, he shuts down freeways. He's the jerk.
You would so be dating a YMCA dude, like the muscles.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. Yes, that big, strong man of mine. Yeah, he's the one that shuts down the freeway. So he's the jerk that does that.
Unfortunately, I have a sad story about ejection.
Oh, yes. And then I want to tell you my sad story about ejection. So please tell me yours.
You know how, like, you don't want to, like, disproportionately place blame, but sometimes you're like, what a stupid insert A-hole or B-word or whatever.
Wait, we just got PG-13. A-hole or B-word.
All right. Assholes or bitches.
Thank you. So, who are you and what'd you do with Laura?
I don't even know. I'm trying to be nice, I guess, for once. Actually, and to your point, this case really did piss me off because I feel like adults are the root of the blame, even though they're not like the actual cause. Basically, there was a prom or a homecoming, and in Florida, to rent a car, you have to be 25 years old.
Like in most states.
So this mother rented her son a Lamborghini to drive to this school dance in with his best friend. And that is deeply unethical and illegal because she rented the car under her name.
Oh boy. The things cool moms sometimes do.
Gave it to him to drive. This young man, because he is not of a fully developed frontal lobe of his brain, started to like floor pedal this vehicle, this Lamborghini, with his friend in the car, and is going in excess of 100 miles per hour when he ultimately collides with another vehicle. He kills everybody in that vehicle. He and his friend, who is 17 years old, he is 17 as well, are ejected from the vehicle.
Oh boy.
As a mother, I am furious because I get that we want our children to have unique, special experiences, and not to sound judgmental, but for me, that's like Disney World or some shit. Like,
yeah, get him a limo. Get him like the Hummer limo.
Your child deserves maybe a special experience, but does not deserve to be driving a Lamborghini,
an illegal rented special in your experience. Name,
and has now killed other people. When I showed up to this scene, I'm telling you, Shelly, there was pieces of evidence. My brain, like, he didn't just hit one thing. He hit like a street sign, and that caused him to ricochet into somebody else's car that he killed.
Yeah, he played pinball with the car.
Yeah. So he hit the curb that caused him to hit the sign, which caused him to hit the vehicle and kill people, and then caused him to hit like a fucking bush or something. And the ironic things about cases like this, he killed his passenger. And when I went to go see him in the vehicle, they were both still alive. His passenger was, I don't mean to sound insensitive to this poor young man. But when I saw him in the hospital, as somebody that's experienced what I've experienced, I knew this was over. I knew it was over.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the driver, I thought to myself, at a minimum, he's brain damaged for life. He was sitting up in the bed, but his eyes were doing, you know, like zoomies. Left, left, up, down, left, over. Like, he was everywhere and his head was like bobbing. And
he had some neurological issues.
Yes. To me, this young man, even though he's nearly like adult age at 18, like kids are put in a bucket for a reason of responsibility. Yeah. And yeah. I'm thinking, like, when I was young, I made a bunch of decisions based on wanting to be more adult and wanting that adrenaline rush. Like, I did not blame this kid one bit. Mm-hmm. I was super mad at the mom, and I hadn't even had children yet. By some miracle of God, whatever brain injury that he suffered ended up resolving.
Oh.
But, and I mean this in the right way, I am so happy that he gets to have a life. But this woman, when he was suffering all of that, she was super defensive about letting him drive the car. She was not responsive when we were trying to, like, get information from her. She basically was angry at us for investigating what happened.
Wow.
Nobody was trying to necessarily place blame on her, but we needed to know the circumstances of the incident.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm not focused on what you need right now. I'm focused on the fact that my son is injured. Okay, fair. However, your son is injured because you're a dumb twat. Sorry. Don't rent your 17-year-old a Lamborghini to drive to prom.
That's awful. Rent a Lamborghini and drive him to prom.
Yeah, because what she did was illegal, Shell. Like, as you know, the agreement was that she was renting the car. And these sweet boys, like, they had what I think must have been a limited but not restricted income. They had dressed themselves up very nicely.
Yeah.
They had bought jewelry. They were very clearly excited. And you can't expect children of that age to not be bananas.
When I was in school, one of my professors had talked to us about, we were talking about traffic collisions. And one of the things that she said kind of stuck with me. And I want to learn about this. So if any of our listeners know more about this, I'm very interested in it.
At us.
Yeah, seriously, at us, because I'm very interested. But what she said is, she said that roads are like, and I'm using finger quotes on built, they're built for the speed limit that is posted. So in other words, like on a freeway, if a freeway is posted speed limit of, let's say, 65 or 70 miles an hour, even 75 in some states, that's because when tires are on that road, if you exceed that speed limit by 10, maybe 15 miles an hour, you're still safe according to like NHTSA and stuff. But if you exceed that speed limit by, you know, 20, 30, 40 miles an hour, like I'm assuming that this kid did, you like lose all traction. The road can create a hazard where you could potentially just be driving and then you would either veer off or you couldn't stop properly or something. And it's not the vehicle's fault. It's the way that the road is constructed. And it's not that there's a problem with the road. It's that that's why they constructed them the way that they constructed. You know, it takes all those engineers, like all that brain power and stuff. They do that for a reason. And they post a speed limit for a reason. While some people say it's okay to go like up to 9 miles over the speed limit, okay, that's fine. And I'm sure that they take, the engineers take that into consideration. I'm not saying it's okay. Don't get a speed ticket and send it to me. I'm just saying it's said that's okay-ish. Anything, I'm sure, like what the speed limits that he was driving on that road was not built for that. I think that probably had something to do with this as well. His inexperience, his illegal actions, that's probably a better way to say it, you know, played a part as well. Inexperience, but the road, it wasn't made for the speed that I'm sure he was going. So that's very unfortunate.
It's not that this was a small road. It was that, like, you don't give a young kid.
You don't give them the power. And some people, I'm sure, feel they are children for a reason and they are kids for a reason and they are preteens and they are young adults. They are not fully developed and they don't have the experience. And when I say fully developed, I don't mean just bodily, body fully developed. I mean like brain and experience. You can be a fully developed person, but unless you experience things, you are not fully developed.
They say that the frontal lobe of your brain, which is like the decision-making aspect, is like not even fully developed to your early 20s.
Call people adults. Yeah, it depends on male, female. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, like 23, 27. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an average age.
One of my more sad traffic homicide deaths, I don't know how this happened, but they decided to like street race. And the dumber part of it was like a major road.
Yeah.
That they decided to do this on. So one of the vehicles that was street racing ended up clipping the side of a medium-sized SUV. And that caused the SUV to veer off into the side of the road where there was a bus stop. And what bothers me about this scene was, in looking at the footage from the surrounding businesses, this beautiful woman in her sweet flower dress was just sitting there with her cute little purse, standing at the bus stop waiting. And this SUV that got clipped ended up, like, essentially turning her into a slingshot and catapulting her, because she was standing at the bus stop sign, but there was a bus stop structure. So it catapulted her from standing by the sign into the structure. And I literally hope killing her upon impact, because just from the sight of her, I instantly loved her. She just looked like somebody's favorite aunt or grandma. And I swear I have prayed that this woman died before she knew what happened.
Yeah.
And what makes me mad about this scene, sidebar to our topic, but members of the public started live streaming her body as she lay on social media.
That's not
Listen,
cool.
Listen, if you're the type of person that does this, there's a special layer of hell for you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And I don't care about how insensitive that sounds. These people, I saw literally crawling over walls with their phone to take photographs of this beautiful woman who had done nothing to anybody, was taking the bus, and had unfortunately been a victim of this incident. So I had to document three cars, the two that were racing and the one that had gotten clipped. And now this poor individual from the clipped vehicle had to accept or chose or felt responsibility for this woman's death. And
that's awful.
It's not fair. Like, street racing, first of all, like, what a douchebag. Come on. Get over yourself. You're not cool. This is not Fast and the Furious. You're not Vin Diesel. Come on.
In California, we actually have street racing that's, like, legal because it's not on the street.
In tracks. We have that in Florida, too.
Yeah, it's in a controlled environment.
We have that too, Shelly. That's why that's even more annoying.
And they do it for free. So, hey, listeners, if you know of someone that's street racing, why don't you send them to one of them? Because they're all over California. They're all over everywhere. I'm sure a lot of states have them.
Yes.
Please don't do that. Just like I said, the streets are not made for this. They are not built for a vehicle to go super fast.
And if you're one of those people that has those, like, douchebag, like, 4 extra horsepower exhaust pipes that you like to rev your engine, like, nobody thinks you're cool. Take that crap to a racetrack where people are actually interested instead of killing innocent, beautiful young people or old people or middle-aged people waiting at a bus stop because they are just trying to live their life. Like, I still think about this woman all the time because I am so sad. Like, her flower dress, her purse, like, lives in my mind. I occasionally just think about this sweet lady leaving wherever she came from, whether it's the grocery store or her place of work, and just waiting for the bus. And some asshole street racing is the reason why she got turned into a pretzel and died. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with it.
That's unfortunate.
It is. Anyways, I know we only tapped on a few stories and we got into a little bit of documentation, but the moral of this episode is a vehicle, whether it be a car, a truck, a van, whatever it is, even a bicycle is a deadly vehicle. And for those of you who are cyclists, I have no hate towards you.
Thank you.
I understand that you are legally entitled to the road. I have one point to make, not out of trying to win anything, but out of advocacy for people not dying prematurely. You might have the right to the road. However, in the battle of you and a motor vehicle, whether or not you had the right to be there, you're going to lose that fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to be a conscious cyclist.
Exactly.
You can't be pompous. You absolutely can't.
And a lot are. Like when you take up more than one lane of traffic and you're like causing people stress, there's road rage.
People are going to go around not knowing that there's a cyclist there. And I've had cases where they get hit.
So for my cyclists, because we do not want you to die, please know that whether or not you have the right to be somewhere legally, you will still lose the battle between you and a car, truck, etc.
Exactly.
And as Shelley has said, be a conscious cyclist because we value your life.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking about ejections, so there was a really sad case that we were involved in, and it was right before Thanksgiving. And there was a mother who was just had come back from the store. She literally was at the store shopping, driving home. It was her sister in the driver's seat, passenger seat. And because it was a minivan, there were three kids in the back and then two in the very back. So it was three rows. And then, you know, in the very, very back where the luggage goes or whatever were the groceries, and there was a pot for tamales, and they had all the typical Thanksgiving
stuff. I love tamales.
So it was like all the typical Thanksgiving feast making stuff. They were driving, and there was a little car that ended up, the driver of that little car ended up having a medical episode and pit maneuvered the minivan, which a pit maneuver is where you hit like the side more kind of towards the rear of a vehicle and it makes the vehicle spin out.
That's what happened in the other scene I just told you about, like where they said they clipped them. Thank you for using the term spin out. That's what I couldn't like get my mind to. Yeah.
So this van ended up kind of spinning, but then when it started to spin, it hit the K rail. So center divide in the freeway, and it ended up going over like a little bit and then rocking back. But driver slash mom was not wearing a seatbelt. And so she was ejected. And when she was ejected, she flew over into oncoming traffic. And so she was hit. Yeah, she was hit by several vehicles, and one of our deputies had hit her. And then she was hit by another vehicle behind them. And it was very unfortunate because, as you were saying, you know, when they get hit that many times or when they get ejected. So when she got ejected, what we believe was that the steering wheel had caught her hips on the way out when she was ejected. And so it detached her spine.
Yeah, from like her os coxa.
Yes. Yeah, I was kind of using layman's terms a little bit for the listeners.
So basically her back bones came out of her hip bones.
Correct. If she wouldn't have had skin on her, her body would have been split in two at her hip bones.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah. And the family was suing us because a deputy had hit her. And he wasn't the first one that hit her. It was several cars back, but he still hit her. And so they had settled all the cars before. And then they sued us, and they were suing us obviously for millions because deep pockets.
Right, of course.
People just don't understand that this is their taxpayer dollars when you sue public entities. They were suing us, and we definitely hit her, thinking one of the cars in front of us, the passenger in that vehicle said, I thought it was a sleeping bag until I saw her face hit the windshield. And they're scarred for life. And our poor deputy he was so emotional. He was so scarred. It was like one of the saddest things ever. And he said, you know, just do whatever you need to do. I don't want to go to trial on this case. I don't want to do anything on this case. And so we were getting ready to settle. And I went out to take a look at the vehicle, and I found brain matter on the door jamb of the minivan. So what brain matter means is once your brain leaves your body, you are no longer alive. So Yeah, so she ended up dying before we hit her, so we didn't cause her death. It was a very sad and very emotional case. And to look at those photos when you finally saw her after she had been hit by so many vehicles, her foot was up near her head.
Poor baby.
What her head should have been is what I should say.
Yeah, that's really rough.
But you know what? I want to leave this on a positive story, and I know we have to wrap up. So I totally want to like say this. So this was really fun. My son, he is so amazing, and he's well over 16 now. He's in his 20s. My dad gave him a minivan as one of his first vehicles when he turned 16. A minivan. Yes, it was so fun. So we're going for like a birthday party, whatever, celebration, and he's driving because, you know, he wants to drive his minivan. So he's driving. I'm in the front seat. We have all of his friends in the back, and we're all going to go bowling. And we're driving down the road. This kind of ties into your Alligator Alley story too. So we're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, he sees an opossum.
An opossum?
Like, an opossum, yes. And he's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? And it's not moving. And I was like,
it's playing possum.
It's playing possum. And I was like, yeah. I don't know. He goes, I think it's dead. Kid at 16 years old is amazing and straddles this thing. It was so funny. But
shut up. He did not.
He totally straddled it. But you know how there's, I don't remember what it's called, but there's like a thing that the center of the axle, it's like that circular whatever, that kind of scraped the possum as we were going over it. And he was like, oh my gosh, I think I killed it. I think I killed it. So he pulls over and we run back and it's gone. It's absolutely gone. But
it
was playing possum. Then I shine my light and there was like a little bit of hair on that circular, I wish I could remember what, like, not the, is it the differential? I don't remember what it's called. You guys can at me at that and tell me, remind me, because I don't remember right now.
At Shelly, CSQ Shelly at Instagram.
Is it the differential? I don't remember. But anyway, it was so funny. And he was like, Mom, did I kill it? He was so distraught. And I was like, no, dude, it's no longer here. You didn't kill it. It played possum and it ran away. I said, but you do have a little bit of hair. And he was like, I don't want to see that. So we went bowling and we had a blast and it was a lot of fun.
I want to go bowling with you.
It was fun. It was really fun. It was like glow in the dark bowling.
Bowling, beer, like corn dog nuggets.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do it. Everyone asks, how often do we get together? And I'm like, not often enough.
Not enough. Only because you're like on the other side of the country. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So our audience has probably had enough of us. So we love everybody that's listening right now. We love you so much.
Totally love you.
You can find us at Crime Scene Queens on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
Email us at hello@crimescenequeens.com.
That's right, Shelly. Email us at hello@crimescenequeens.com. And don't drive like a dickhole. Don't kill other people. Don't drive when you've been drinking alcohol. Smoking the ganja. Nope, don't drive when you've been injecting and or snorting and or smoking, whatchamacallit, ever.
Or too tired.
Or don't too exhausted. Tired. Pull over. Call an Uber.
It's cheaper than $10,000, right. I guarantee.
And you're going to commit a crime.
Yeah.
Leave lots of evidence for your local CSI. Do us a That's favor. We love you.
Evidence. We love you. Lots. Thanks for
Bye,
listening.
Bye, everybody.
Crime Scene Queens is a Q Code Media production. Executive produced by David Henning and Steve Wilson. Produced by Ryan Countshouse. Edited by Will Tendy. Theme song and music by Darren Johnson.